So we're ending, or coming close to the end of that 90-day Paschal season, celebrating the Passover of the Lord and our involvement in it. And next Sunday is Pentecost, and that's the last day of the whole season. But Pentecost and Ascension, they're just almost together, because Jesus leaves so that the Spirit can come. And you can't have one without the other. And this Passover of the Lord that we're celebrating is his passage from death to life. And so, in a sense, he dies by taking on our human nature. He limits himself to one body, to one place, to one age, etc., etc. Takes on all the limitations of humanity, including temptation, death, all of it. So that's his passage through death. But then, of course, his resurrection and ascension are the rising from that death and the Passover from death to life. And that is a sign for all of us, for the whole human race, for all ages, that death doesn't have the final word, that love is stronger than death, that God, who is love, lives forever and cannot be conquered by death, and we who are his body cannot be conquered by death either. So he's always inviting us into his passage, inviting us into his death, and so through baptism we share in his death. We go down into the deadly waters where one can drown, and it's a symbolic drowning, but it's also a symbolic washing and a refreshing, and it's, you know, death and life are so much together that we tend to parcel them out and say, well, death is here and life is here, but death and life are just so interwoven that they're the same moment. And that's what baptism celebrates, and that's what Easter celebrates, and that's what Ascension celebrates, and Pentecost. And so, through the Spirit, we are joined to his passage from death to life. But there's something in us that kind of wants to push that away. We don't like dealing with death. We don't like talking about it. We dread it. Even though we know that the Christians in the world are supposed to be the ones who are rid of the fear of death, we still fear it. We still dread the whole project. We know, spiritually, that you can't get to the resurrection without going through the death, but we still don't like it. And so there's something about us that pushes the whole experience away. And that is symbolized really powerfully in these scriptural stories that we have today. The disciples of Jesus, the apostles, they're doing a very human thing here. There's something in human nature that wants to not be involved in the project, that wishes there was some deus ex machina, you know, God out of a machine, where God enters in and whisks the problem away and it's solved without our involvement. Or we wish that someone else would take care of this problem without our having to do anything. But you see, Jesus is never letting us off the hook. He's always inviting us into the project and saying, you have to be involved in this. And so the disciples looking up to heaven is like looking back. You know, we've spoken of this here before. Egypt becomes a metaphor for looking back, for backsliding, for longing for the flesh pots of Egypt when we should be looking forward to resurrected life. And those disciples should have been looking forward to his coming again, but they were looking back to his first coming. And we find ourselves in the tension between the first and final comings of Christ. And so in the liturgy, for example, this is all about memory, you know, remembering. It's the memorial of his sacrificial death and resurrection. But it's also about his coming again. It's about that longing and expectation and experience of joy and hope that comes from our knowing that he's coming again. And in the meantime, there's a lot of the project that we have to get our hands dirty with, that we have to immerse ourselves in, even though we don't want to. We have to become his body. And his body is bruised and broken. When he has his resurrection appearances to the disciples, he shows them his hands and his side. He still has his wounds. The body of Christ is not pristine. It's not without its faults. It's not without its sins. It's not without its tragedies of history. It's a mucky world. Just like our bodies, they sometimes get dirty, and we have to wash them over and over again. And our consciences get dirty, and we have to go to confession over and over again. This is just real. This is what the body of Christ looks like. And there's part of us that would love to look up at the skies and see some kind of perfected ideal that wouldn't look like us, that wouldn't fail like we do. But Jesus, through the angel, says, why are you looking up at the skies? Look right and look at yourselves. Look at the body of Christ as it is, and rejoice in that, and glory in that, and know that that is a glorified body at the same time that it's a marred body. Because the death and the resurrection are right together. And so part of our faith and part of our daily prayer is to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord in our hearts, telling us that our marred body is also the glorified body of Christ, that the imperfect church is still his body, that this age that we live in, with all of its horrors and imperfections and wars and tragedies and injustices and, you know, on and on and on, that somehow is the resurrected body at the same time. And if we can learn to trust in that, we can get through anything. Our own sins won't get us down. The sins of others and the injustices of the world and the tragedies of human existence, they won't conquer us, because we know that love is stronger than death.